Okay, so our last speaker for this afternoon is Sahil Dado, and Sahil will introduce himself and his topic. Thank you.
It doesn't say here, but I'm doing a DCA, which is, so it's a creative project with research. So today, because it's early on, I'm just going to kind of present my project, and it's that creative piece is still kind of in the thinking. So I'm just going to kind of expose myself a little bit and give you, you know, my ethical ideas and see where we go from there. Please ask me hard questions afterwards, because it's all about that.
Talking Cultures is actually the name of my creative piece. My thesis is about activism on social media
and looking at it from a cultural point. More about that later. So, just to start with, I'll probably start with my research question. And basically, you know, how can we engage social media communities to participate in, you know, social and political campaigns? And I'm interested specifically in that, in social and political campaigns, social change and political activism.
And so the question that I'm asking myself is how to look at that specifically from a cultural and social background.
So do communities behave differently that come from different cultural backgrounds? Does
the social background
or the demographic of a person affect, or a community as a whole, affects the way they behave? What kind of campaigns triggers them? What interests them? Like, is it going to be the humorous campaign? Is it going to be the, you know, advocacy campaign, the radical campaigns, the subtle? So I'm trying to find the triggers that trigger the different types of cultural backgrounds and different types of social backgrounds. And also, you know, working at, on it in a kind of a matrix way of, you know, campaign flavors versus backgrounds and what triggers what, and finding a matrix out of all of that. And, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the last point is really kind of my aim, which is, you know, trying to empower activists with tools for specifically targeting specific communities. And this, you know, being able to activate these communities with the right flavor of a campaign. So I'm trying to, I guess, to answer a big question, and possibly my DCA will not answer the whole question, but at least I'm trying to, you know, go up that question and, you know, get some answers. So basically, that's my aim, just to find knowledge, tools, and mechanisms. And I say tools because part of my creative project is doing different campaigns on different social media platforms, and therefore by doing that, I'm hoping that I can find little formulas and tools that will help activists. So that's one byproduct of my research. And the other aspect of the research is once I target the different cultural and social backgrounds, I'll be able to see the differences between in behaviors in relation to these campaigns. So that's my aim. I guess, you know, I'm also, because it's really, you know, it's a personal issue as well. So I'm interested in cultural identity, and, you know, I'm quoting this from Amin Maalouf because he has a little bit, he's a bit like me. You know, I'm born in Africa, Palestinian French, half Palestinian, half French, born in Africa, lived in Jordan, Prague, and then Australian citizen. So mixed. You know, I don't even know what I am. So I guess that's part of my interest is I want to see this whole aspect, the other dimension, which is the multiple identities within the oneself as well. You know, and that kind of interplays as well in the triggers. So it's not just about the different cultural communities, but it's also about the different facets of a person's identity and what aspects of it triggers different activities. You know, am I going to be, like, is my Palestinian part going to be interested in the radical activism, and then my Australian part is going to be interested in the quirky activism? Actually, I think it's the opposite in my case. But you know, this kind of intriguing question that I'm intrigued about, and that's why I'm doing this research. So before before I start talking about my project and what I'm planning to do to find out the question, or to answer that question, I want to just give you a bit of a context of, you know, what kind of activism I'm talking about. and you know what kind of what is kind of social media. So I'm going back, really far back. I'm going back to, you know, 400 BC, and you know I'd like to say that probably Socrates was one of the first people that started the kind of activism that I am interested in, which is activism that's built on both knowledge, but also on questioning questions that can't be answered. So that is also, there's a parallel, an interesting parallel there is that, you know, looking for that photo, there is an element of social community that builds up around these questions. And I think that's what interests me is, you know, activism is questions that create social communities. And so if we jump just one step further to the 1970s, I was born in 1970, so it's related. And I'm looking at two parallel things here. I'm looking at technology and, you know, how technology started to happen, which is, you know, the first email. And I'm looking at the kind of activism that, you know, I'm relating to and that, you know, I'm working with, which is that kind of slightly outside your experience community organization activism, similar to Solomonsky activism, who, you know, by the way, you know, was Obama's influence in terms of his Camp Obama campaign. So that kind of gives you a bit of a context. And, you know, if we jump now to the 90s and we look at the first real online social media activism, it started happening with things like Move On. That happened, the Move On started around the impeachment of Bill Clinton and grew from within months, I think, from just 100 people interested into 500,000 within 2 months in 1998. And so that's 1998, and we had that kind of numbers of people going online and participating in a political activity. And at the same time, the tools in hand, from the first email in the 70s, in 30 years, we started with things like, you know, ICQ, in the same year, actually, 1998. And ICQ is short for ICQ. And you know, that kind of gave us a big jump in social media. You know, it's kind of the first real social media because it included also instant chat. And to jump, you know, jump one step further, which is, you know, nowadays, and we look at things like Camp Obama, which is, you know, was influenced by two things. Influenced by the technology, which is like the Move On campaign. And, you know, Obama did mention that was one of his inspirations for Camp Obama. But also influenced by the Alinsky methods of community organization. So that kind of two things come together with Camp Obama. But also looking now, like just like things like in, you know, the Twitter revolution. And if you guys, there's a lot of chat on the net now in terms that are called like the Moldova or the Kyrgyzstan Twitter revolution. And this is where, you know, I remember I couldn't find the video, otherwise I would have showed you that video. But on the ABC, there was a video about in April. And in the video, this activist was talking about how they organized themselves entirely through Twitter. In fact, they organized themselves to the level of saying, you know, there's this kind of secret police in this area right now, outside my window. Another person would say, well, they've left from my side, so if you want, you can move to this side. So there was actually an entire political organization happening on Twitter. And in Moldova, the Twitter revolution was basically, at the time of the election there, was basically actually entirely conducted on Twitter. So that's the kind of thing that's happening now this year. And, you know, we all know about WikiLeaks and GetOut. And so I think, you know, I'm my research is already, there's already in the ground for looking at kind of political activism. But what I intend to do is actually to be able to gauge the triggers is to start a campaign of my own. Now, I'm choosing an intercultural campaign, and I'm calling it Talking Cultures, for two reasons. One is I'm interested in cultural diversity, but the other is that I think it will be a useful campaign for me to actually get the different cultural communities. Because by the nature of the campaign, it actually talks about culture. And so, in a way, I'm double dipping, because the campaign is about culture and activism, but it's also about measuring the different cultural communities and their triggers. So what I'm doing is I'm doing this thing that I was talking about, which is four different campaigns. They end up with a multi-screen installation at the end of this. These campaigns are in different flavors. I'll talk more about the campaigns, but Food for Thought is a campaign that's going to be a narrative campaign. So it has an aspect of narration and story. The second campaign, the Cultural Intelligence Test, is a bit of a humorous campaign. So it's built on viral and on humor. And Random Mode is a bit of a radical campaign. And this one, the Ask for Intercultural Dialogue, is a campaign that's kind of a bit about advocacy and a bit about political debate. So I'll explain these campaigns in detail, I think, to start with, just to get us going and to save some time. So Food for Thought is my first campaign, and it's going to happen on the streets of Sydney. And the idea of it is, I've actually done this a few years ago, nothing relating to this study, but I've done a coffee with a Palestinian. The idea was I wanted people like not to just hear the media stories of Palestinian stories. So I actually had a mug of Arabic coffee, strong Arabic coffee. I went to Martin Place, and I just offered people free coffee in return of them sitting with me and talking. So I'll tell them the story of my grandmother. It was as simple as that. So that was the idea at the time. And Food for Thought is kind of a little bit building on that. And what I want to do is, you know, have food stalls, and then basically have a camera and have a specific kind of a little bit of a set of questions asking people. So, you know, you come and have a coffee and a little sweet, and then talk to me about your culture, and I'll talk to you about my culture. So create that intercultural dialogue. And then that will go on an online interactive documentary. So that's the first campaign, which has a narrative based on it. The second campaign, is a cultural intelligence test. So I'm sorry if you're a George Bush fan.
No, I'm a Putin fan.
Oh, I am a Putin fan. Especially you know, when you're driving the house. But the idea is, I want to create a test. Actually, there are references already to cultural intelligence tests. And what I want to do is kind of, not make a mockery, but kind of put a different perspective to what we have as a citizenship test, and instead create a cultural intelligence test, and have a bit of a humor and viral into it. And so the result on, you know, when you finish your test, you get measured against famous people. You know, you as cultural intelligence as George Bush, I hope you don't get measured as that, but that's the idea of the second campaign. I'm just going to go quickly, so we're on time. Okay, so the Random Mob. The idea of Random Mob is again about intercultural dialogue, but it's a flash mob concept. There's a mob called Subtle Mob that I actually just came across last week that I thought is a good example to illustrate my kind of flash mob. Because flash mob often is just a funny dance in the square kind of thing. But in my case, I want to create a narrative story in it. And I thought these Subtle Mob people are really interesting because they do create a story. Like in this picture here, you see what they're doing is they give each person they ask them to download a little song into their iPod. It's not a song, like a kind of narration / music. So it's a soundtrack, but has instructions for them. And so they don't know, each person gets a different music, and then they basically act like a theater play in the street. They don't know what each person, half of them are listening, as audience, the other half are actually contributing. So I'm going to create these kind of things, these narratives built around intercultural dialogue, and, you know, do a random one. And the last one is a very straight kind of campaign to create a policy about using arts. Because I think, you know, one of the things that we lack, and, you know, interesting in the ABC of talking about cultural diversity, but one of the things we lack here is, you know, a powerful funding and support for intercultural dialogue through art. Because I think that's best. Probably to us would be the most powerful way to create intercultural dialogue. Lastly, once I finish all of that, all the content from these different campaign. So I've got the 4 different campaigns on different social media platforms with different communities. It's a bit of a matrix that I will have, a matrix of information and triggers. And I'm hoping to create a multi-installation screen, more like an environment, you know, with objects, cultural objects, and you hold them and images are projected with different stories. That's my final piece of my paper. Just to talk a little bit about, you know, how it works in terms of building the audience, because I think that's really important. Again, I'm addressing that concept of hyper virtual communities, which is my campaigns are run in the streets and on the social media, and I think that's the only way really to run successful campaigns. That's also what happens with Camel Obama, that's what happens with Get Out, that's what happens with any of like the successful acts. So I'm starting my campaigns with the food photos, going into the streets with the stalls. The next step is, you know, I'm assuming that people are going to be infected. Some people will be infected by telling their story, one. But the other is by getting the URL for Turkic Cultures, telling other people. So it's a bit of a marketing plus telling, getting narratives. So that's what happens is you're getting media out of this and you're getting a word of mouth that goes into the social media. So that's the next step in social media. So the next step we interplay is on social media. And, you know, what happens with social media is that we also get some kind of an infection, or, you know, people get interested in that campaign. And then we create another campaign, which is a cultural intelligence bit that purely sits on social media. And, you know, I'm hoping that also, in a way, you get people interested in that, and so there's more word of mouth. And then you kind of jump back to the streets with the random mob. So there's that kind of relationship of jumping. So you jump back to the stream, to the street, and then you create also more media because we're going to be videoing these random ones back into the social media. So there's that kind of dialogue as well between the platforms, which is the streets and the social media. And then hopefully the last one would be that regular monthly meeting. Once I have enough numbers, I'll start doing a monthly meeting for the intercultural dialogue. And you know, hopefully do a conference at the end, a little mini conference. So that's the plan, and you know, do the screen. Just to, yeah, 4 minutes? So, just to give you a bit of my, you know, research methodology. Again, you know, it's not ethnographic action research over here. It is all about doing the iterations, and kind of fits with my 4 phases of campaign, which is, you know, you plan, and you notice that you're planning not just for yourself, but also with others. And that's the big thing about ethnographic action research, is that you're not only, the action is not only just with the others, but also the planning is with the others. And so I'm interested in doing these focus groups as part of every step of my campaign. And in a way, this little crazy graph just talks about the whole iteration concept, you know. I'm going to start with little liner teasers that I'm sending to social media about the campaign, and you know, just to create a bit of a buzz, and then go on the street, you know, observe, reflect, go back, in a loop, ending up with a multi-screen installation. And, you know, I think this is one of the most challenging aspects of my research at the moment, is thinking about data collection of creating. And so I'm kind of, like, there's the one aspect where it's still being developed, and I think is the key, is that when do I start collecting the data? This is kind of the question. And to me, you know, I'm really interested in actually first creating the campaign as a whole, as an entirely, and then after that, sending a survey and a questionnaire after I have the campaign and after all the different phases of the campaign have run through, is when I'm going to send a specific questionnaire that is going to actually ask about the cultural background and the social identity and ask these questions and get results back that I can put into a matrix. So in a way, the creative piece will run through all the way to the end before I start collecting data. Or that's the plan. So it's kind of, I'm still asking my question whether that's the way to do it or not. That's where I am. And I guess my challenge is, I'm just going to do the challenges if I can.
What's
your challenge? Not challenges. Yeah. One of the biggest challenges would be in my collection of data, which is because I'm only going to get results back from people that, you know, that actually participate, I'm not going to have any negative results, which is the people that weren't interested in any of the campaigns, of any of the four campaigns. So I think that's going to be an issue that maybe can be taken further in further research, but that's an issue which is I don't have negative representation. The other thing is that because I'm using one type of campaign, which is a cultural campaign, which is, there's a lot of political activism out there, but I'm using one type, so again, my data is going to be specific to that one type of campaign. And the third one is, you know, of course, because I'm dealing with many different cultural backgrounds and some minority groups, I have to, you know, be aware of that cultural sensitivity. And the one other issue that I'm still trying to struggle with is international participation, the nature of social media that is international. Am I going to create a filter for my data collection where I'm only concentrating on the place where the campaigns have been run, street? Because when you talk internationally, they haven't been exposed to the street campaigns. They've been only exposed to the social media campaigns. So I have to ask myself that question, whether I filter my data or not. And probably that, you know, that by the nature of the word matrix, there's going to be a challenge with that quantitative aspect of the triggers that I'm going to be measuring. So these are still challenges early on, but I think I'm putting these challenges there. Might give you guys ideas for asking me hard questions. Funding, of course, is the last time. That's it.
Right, thank you very much.